Yes, I'm afraid some of these may sound a little familiar to your listeners this morning. Basically, you have to decide who's going to be saved of the rich and powerful people, because it's always the rich and powerful who've brought you to the crisis. So, which of those people get to stay on the lifeboat, and how are the costs of this crisis spread across society? And this becomes a very difficult conversation, a struggle, if you like, that lasts for some time. And this is an integral part, and really the backdrop to any IMF negotiation with a country getting a loan.
And you've said in the article that the IMF goes and looks the finance minister in the eye. And what does somebody like you and the IMF think when you're looking the finance minister in the eye?
Well, you're thinking the party's over, and the illusion and self-delusion that you've seen in any such country is also over. And now it's time to look at the books and take a hard look at them and get it right this time. No more pretense, no more mismanagement of the accounting side of things. And to say, look, this is what you can afford. These are the costs. Now, who is going to bear these costs? And of course, that is then an intensely political decision into which the IMF may have some input. But that's going to be the outcome always of whatever's going on in the country in question. Who's got power? Who doesn't have power? Who realizes what's being done to them, and who doesn't?
Here we are talking about a developed economy, Ireland, and you've also seen this in other economies. What's happened?
In the May 2009 article, I was talking about the United States, and I was saying that the United States at that time, and I think even today, has taken on a lot of the features that we more normally associate with emerging markets. So I don't know if it's any consolation to Ireland, but you're not in this alone. Other developed countries have allowed their banking systems to become far too powerful to take on reckless risks and to capture the minds, hearts, and perhaps pocketbooks of politicians. And the consequences, as you are now aware of this, are devastating, always and everywhere. It takes a while for it to catch up with you, maybe a decade, maybe less, maybe more. And when it does catch up with you, it's absolutely awful, and it's going to be awful in many of these situations for a long time.
And you call these people the financial oligarchs, and you say that part of the reason that IMF comes in is because the politicians are so closely linked to the financial oligarchs that they won't make decisions that are necessary for the country's recovery. Do you think that that's the case with Ireland?
Well, I'm not an expert on Ireland, and I would defer to others with greater knowledge on the ground. But there certainly is a general pattern that you see around the world where the rich and powerful in the country, particularly the people who control the financial system, get a bit too greedy. They take on too much risk. They take on too much debt one way or another. And when the reckoning comes, either the government can't sort it out by itself, or it simply doesn't have the money. You know, any way you look at it, it's going to be hard for Ireland to service these debts. And of course, what the striking feature of the Irish circumstances, at least seen from a distance, but again, not unique in some sense, but it's really quite striking, is that you had a seemingly well-run government from a fiscal point of view for a long time, but that you're building up a big contingent off-balance sheet liability in the form of what the banks are up to. And that's that has ruined Ireland. And it's that, I would say, very same process that is ruining and threatens further to ruin the United States.
Now, we have maybe an unusual situation where we have the EU, the ECB, and the IMF coming in here. Those are the people that we've applied to. But who will be the boss? Will it be the IMF?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think the IMF is the boss in this situation. I think it's a negotiation. I think the Commission, the European Commission, is really very important. They have quite a lot of cash now. They're better positioned psychologically to handle things than they were even at the time of Greece 6 months ago, when they really weren't prepared at all. So I think the IMF is going to be important, but the European Commission will have the edge, let's say, in that complicated relationship and the negotiation.
But many people are saying here that, you know, maybe they have their own motives for that, and that our so-called bailout in reality is also a bailout for European banks. Is that the case?
Oh, of course, absolutely. I'm surprised. I thought you knew that. I
No,
thought that was obvious.
and you've written about that. But for example, in the Irish Times today, this is, you know, really the one of the first times that the Irish people are thinking, oh, you know what? Maybe we're being forced into this because it suits Europe. I mean, we knew that the euro was an issue, but the banks, European banks' investment in Ireland seems to be an issue.
Of course, you have been running a big current account deficit over the past decade, largely financed by financial inflows from big European banks. UK, I would suggest probably top of that list. Germany, France, perhaps or most likely the Swiss as well. We'll probably learn a lot more about the specific contours of the financing and those arrangements, and who's holding that paper today, as